Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Samach Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur from the top line of Daf Samach Dalet. You may notice to the immediate right hand to immediate left hand side of the Gemara text a star with an indication to look at Samach Gimel Amud Beis. If you go back to Samach Gimel Amud Beis, several lines from the bottom, you will notice that we had a Tanaic source, and in that source it mentioned Moisef Sak Al HaBeged Shetome Mishum Orig. So this is a quote, this line, the top line of Samach Dalet is a quote from that source. The source had been dealing with the issue of very small types of ornamental items and their ability to makabel tuma. In this phrase, it says that sak, which is a cloth made from goat's hair, that sak is additional or added to the concept of beged, that it is metame mishum orig. Orig is something that is woven, cloth or fabrics that are woven or subject to kabbalas tuma. But the phrase at hand is not 100% clear, because by saying Moisef Sak Al HaBeged, that Sak, which is, as we said, it's a cloth made from goat's hair, is has a feature beyond Beged, that it is Mekabel Tuma as Orig, as something woven, it implies that the Beged doesn't have that characteristic. Beged would be clothing or cloth made from other kinds of materials, like wool or linen. So the Gemara asks, Otu Beged Lav Orighu, is it so that Beged is not something woven? That's not true. The Beged is also woven. So what is implied by this phrase that Moisef Sak Al HaBeged? So the Gemara answers, Hochi Ko'omar, Moisef Sak Al HaBeged, Afal Pi She'eno Orig Tomei. Sak has a characteristic that beyond Beged, insofar as that it will mekabel tuma, that means products made from goat's hair could mekabel tuma even if they're not woven together. The Gemara asks, "Lamai chazi?" Well, what goat's hair product is fit for use if it's not woven? Omar Rabbi Yochanan shekein oni koilea sholosh nimin v'toile b'tzavor bito. The term kolea is something that is twisted together, and it's not an actual weaving. It's Rabbi Yochanan is describing someone taking three strands of goat's hair and twisting them together, and then hanging it from the neck of his daughter. Apparently, it's some type of, we'll say it's something ornamental. Rashi says, across from here, Toiva B'tzavar Bito, Ukli Osa, the twisting together of the strands, Zuhi Arigosa, that's the equivalent of its being woven. Me'achar Shuhu Tovui, from the fact that it's, Tovui is spun, which is the process where you take strands, individual strands, and twist them together. Kidamoran Gabi Tifi Chalil Debresh Pirkin, the Korilu Orig. This was mentioned in the context of Tifi Chalilta, which were strands that were featured at the beginning of this parak, of this chapter, that it's called Orig. Orig, that which the source, the rereading of the source on the third line from the top, the Gemara said, even though it's not Orig, Klomar, Lov, Orig, Mamish. It's not really woven, it's rather twisted together. Hair fibers, goat hair fibers, are twisted together to form a strand or a string, if you will. Before we go on in the Gemara, just a couple of concepts that we are dealing with. We have something that is, we mentioned on the side of our Gemara, we mentioned shlavim, these are stages. You have tovui, which is twisting together of individual strands, and then orig. And tovui is associated with the term klia, twisting together. We are now going to start a very long Tanaic source. You can see its length as it's enclosed in a frame, which goes down in, well down into the wide lines of the Gemara. The topic heading that we've assigned to this section on the side, under the Nosei heading, Tovi V'orig Mekabel Tuma, or Mekabel Tumas Sheretz Meis Shechvazera. Things that are, we're talking about goat's hair strands that are twisted together and woven, and or woven, as we mentioned already, the twisting together of the goat strands and a product developing from that is something that's the equivalent of orig. These are orig being woven. These twisted strands of goat's hair and the products that are made from it are makabel tumas sheretz, tumas mace, defilement to the dead, and shechvazera is contact with male semen. The source opens up with a pasuk from tumas sheretz. As we mentioned, we will touch on that area of Tuma. We will also touch upon the area of Tumas Meis. And in the course of the of this presentation, so we will be engaged with the construction of a Gzeira Shava to learn one topic from the other. So now we continue in the source, Tonu Rabbanan Sak. As we said, this is a word from Tumas Sheretz. Ein li elo sak. From this word, I would think only clothing made from sackcloth, which is something that shepherds wear. So sack is a full woven garment. Minayin l'rabois es hakilkuli v'sachovek. From where do I know to include in tuma kilkuli and chavek? As we've mentioned already numerous times in our daf yomi shiurim, these prokim in Maseches Shabbos, they require a great deal of accurate translation. Rashi rises to the occasion in presenting French words, but unfortunately, most of us are not conversant with French, the old French that Rashi uses. So we are trying to extract principles or general descriptions as opposed to specific translations, and that too will be of benefit to us. So when looking at these terms, kilkuli and chevek, they represent different types of straps. Rashi gives for kilkuli a French word which has to do with a breast strap of a harness that's attached to an animal, and the chevek is a strap that attaches a saddle to animals. Rashi points out that these straps are made from goat's hair that are tovi v'orig. In other words, we're talking about twisted. They're hairs, goat's hairs that are twisted together, forming strands, and are woven. So that we are question here is the pasuk says sak, which is full blown clothing. From where do I know to include as fit for Kabbalah's Tumah, called susceptible to absorbing Tumah, these items, Kilkuli and Chevek? Talmud Loimar Oy Sak. So the Oy word in that Pasuk includes these as well. Yochol Shani Marbe Es HaChavolim Ves HaMashichos. Should I include even these things? These are ropes and different types of ropes and strands and strings. Rashi points out that these are made from goat's hairs that aren't even spun together. So it's a very low level of preparation, of process. So should I include chavolim and mashichos, which are not even, they're not even spun together, as something that's mekabel tuma? Tamalomar sak. Ma sak tovu v'orog, just like the nature of sak is spun and woven, af kol tovu v'orog, so to anything else that's going to makabel tuma must have these characters of being spun and woven. So far, we've dealt with tumas sheretz and goat's hair products. we will include products even though they're not actual clothing, but they have these characteristics of being tovu v'orog. When we see the term orig, we have to understand that it means something in this context, as Rashi pointed out. As long as the goat hair strands are twisted together, twisted and braided, if you will, they are considered like orig, like something woven. But something that doesn't undergo that process, which is something in its very raw state that happens to be made into something useful, will not mekabel tuma. We now continue in the source, and we switch to the realm of Tumas Meis. Harehu Omer B'meis, V'chol Kli Or, V'chol Maise Izin Tischato. The pasuk refers to leather products and all goat hair products. Tischato means are to be purified. In other words, we're talking here about Kabbalah's Tuma. L'rabois HaKilkili V'sechovak. The V'chol Maise Izin in this context of Tumas Meis includes the Kilkali and Chavak. We saw these products also before when dealing with the Tumas Sheretz. Yochol Shenimar V'Sachavomas HaMashichos. Well, once the Pasuk says V'chol, should I include even Chavolim and Mashichos, which are made from goat's hairs as they are removed from the animal, and they're not spun together. So that is the question, should I include those? So the Brisa answers, no, I'm not going to include those. The din hu, logic will tell me that I won't include them. Timei b'sheretz v'timei b'meis. We find tuma mentioned by sheretz and tuma by meis, the meis being the defilement to the dead. Ma k'shetimei b'sheretz lo timei elo tov v'orig, just like in the case of Tumas Sheretz, we said there's Tuma only if it's Tovif Orig. And this we saw before. And we have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text showing you where that was said. Just parallel the star here with the star above. And you'll see that on that line we said that by Sheretz, lo time elo Tovif Orig. So af kishitime b'meis, lo time elo Tovif Orig. So by way of logic, which we call in Hebrew binyanav, by making a binyanav, this logical comparison, we will conclude that we will not include something that's lacking toviv orig by tumas meis. However, the Gemara turns around in wonderment and says, "Hain, is that really so? Im heke b'tomei sheretz, if you are lenient in tumas sheretz and not including something that's lacking tovu v'orig, shehi kala. Tumas sheretz is a lower form, a lower level form in terms of severity than tumas meis. So I can understand in tumas sheretz, so we won't include those things. Nakil b'tumas hameishi chamur, should I likewise be lenient to metayer the chavolim and meshichos in tumas meis, which is more stringent? We know, for example, Tumas Sheretz is a one-day level, one-day form of Tuma. Tumas Meis is a seven-day Tuma experience. So how can you say that Chavolim and Meshichos will be Tomor in Tumas Meis? You can't say that by simply comparing it through logic to Tumas Sheretz. So to this we answer, Talmud Lomar Begevior Begevior L'Gzera Shava. There is a word comparison. The term beged v'or you find in both topics, sheretz and meis. Ne'emar beged v'or b'sheretz, ve'ne'emar beged v'or b'meis. Ma beged v'or homur b'sheretz lo timei l'tov v'orig. Just like by sheretz, it says beged v'or, and there is no tuma unless the item is, the product is tov v'orig. Af beged v'or homur b'meis. Lo time elo tovivorek. So to beg for that is stated by Tumas Meis, there won't be tumah unless it's undergone the processes of being spun and woven. And furthermore, uma begid v'orhom or b'meis timei kol maisa izim, and just like by begid v'or that's stated by mace, all goat products are tomei. So af begid v'orhom or b'sheretz timei kol maisa izim. It might be pointed out that the posuk itself by tomei mace, the posuk we saw above, we have a double, you can see that we have a double star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can align this with the double star that you see above, pointing out the pasuk v'chol ma'aseizim. When we say v'chol ma'aseizim, it would seem to mean not just beged, and will include all kinds of products, but once again, provided it's tovi v'orig. So too, begid v'or, that is stated by sheretz, were timei kol ma'aseizim. Ein li elo dovar habo min ha'izim. Minayin rabos dovar habo mizonav hasus mizonav hapora. In the realm of tumas sheretz, I know only something that comes from goats. How about to include something that comes from hairs of a horse tail or a cow's tail? Talmud Lomar Oisak. This posuk Oisak is written by sheretz, so it will include even Zonav Hasus and Zonav Hapora products. There is a Gemara interruption, and that's indicated by the brackets that we have around these two lines. And just to preserve the flow of the Gemara, we would skip the bracketed section for a moment. V'ein li elo b'sheretz. I know Zonav Hasus and Pora only by sheretz. V'tumas meis minan. How about that products made from Zonav Hasus, from horse tail and cow tail hairs, are also mekabel tumas meis. So the Gemara tries the logical approach, and we will continue with that very shortly. But let's go over our bracketed section. Within the brackets, the Gemara asks, how can you use Oi Sak to include products from Zonav Hasus and Zonav Hapora v'ho afikte l'kilkali v'chovak? Did I not use Oi Sak already? And we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow above, and you'll see that the Oi Sak posuk was already used for kilkali and chevak. So how can you use the same pasuk for different things? It's once you have a gzeres hakosuv for a particular point, that's it. It's for that point, not for something else. So oisak was already used up. The Gemara answers, hani mili mekamid leisi gzeres shava. That would have been true that oisak was used for kiklin chevek. That's before we had the gzeres shava. Hashto de osi gzera shava, now that we have the gzera shava, isur lay, the oisak becomes extra. In other words, from the gzera shava, just like we saw by mace, where marbe kol maisa izim, which will include the kilkali and chavik, so too by the sheretz, we will include the kilkali and chavik. So that kilkali and chavik is learned from the gzera shava, thereby making oi sheretz available for including products of Zonav Hasus and Pora. Continuing in the Gemara, the Ainli Elo B'Sheretz, well, the Oi Sak Posuk that's including the products of Zonav Hasus and Pora, that's written by Sheretz, B'Tumas Meis Minayin. How do I know that products made from Zonav Hasus and Pora are subject to Tumas Meis? V'Din Hu. Let's try the logical approach. The dinhu that they will mekabel tuma. Timei b'meis v'timei b'sheretz. We know there's tumas meis, and we know there's also tumas sheretz. Ma k'shetimei b'sheretz also dovra bro mizonav asus v'mizonav apora k'maisa izim. Just like in tumas sheretz, we mention through the o sak to include things coming from horse and cow's tails as the same as coming from goat's hair, af kishitime b'meis. So too with regard to tumas meis, asay dovra bo mizonav asus mizonav apora kemaisa izim. Let's apply this stringency to tumas meis as well. The Gemara asks, how can you do this? How can you make this logical comparison? Hain, is that really so? Imhirba betumas erev shihi meruba narbe betumas shiva shihi muetes. Interestingly, on the upper part of the of this omid, we mentioned that tumas meis is more chomor. There is an element of tumas sheretz, which is, we'll call it more chomor, and as a result of that, just because something has tuma in the case of tumas sheretz, which in this case the zona of hapora and hasus, I'm not going to be able to apply that also to tumas meis. Now, what is the point of distinction? So the Brisa said, if you're including more items like zona of hapora vasus within the realm of tumas sheretz. Now, tumas sheretz is a one day tuma. That means a person is tuma until the evening. The Bryce is pointing out, as far as tumas erev is concerned, there are many things that create tumas erev. So tumas erev is a realm that includes a number of different cases. Rashi mentions five different possibilities, five different cases. There's tumas sheretz, nevelah, shechvazera, magazav, and magatomei meis. These are all tumas erev examples. So it's a broad realm. So it stands to reason that when you're within a broad realm, we will include many things, including dover habo, mizon of asus, mizon of aporo. However, tumas meis, that's defilement directly to a corpse, that's a 7-day tumah, and that's very limited. There are very few examples of things that are like that. So since it's a limited realm, who says that in a limited realm I'm going to include zon of aporo and zon of asus? Talmud loimar, therefore the Torah has a gzera shava, begid v'or, l'gzera shava. Nemar begid v'or b'sheretz, v'nemar begid v'or b'meis. This is the same gzera shava that we mentioned before. Ma begid v'or ha'omur b'sheretz, just like begid v'or that we say by sheretz, osu d'avabor mizon avasus mizon avapora k'maisi izim. We mentioned already that from oisak, things that come from horse and cow's tails are subject to tuma, just like the goat's hair products. Af begin v'or homur b'meis, so too that you see the same term by tumas meis. Asay dovra bo mizon avasusu mizon avaporo kemaisa izim. Things that are made from horse and cow and cow's tails will be treated like things that are made from goat's hairs. And we know by goat's hairs there is tumas meis. So we will, through the gzera shava, include dovra bo mizon avasusu mizon avaporo. At this point, then, we have a gzera shava enabling us to compare the topics of tumas meis to tumas sheretz. In the realm of making a gzera shava, comparing two topics, we just learned a source in which it was pointed out that there are fundamental differences between the realm of tumas sheretz and tumas meis. We mentioned that tumas sheretz is a one-day tumah, tumas meis is a 7-day tumah. We also mentioned that tumas sheretz is part of the realm of tumas erev, which is inclusive of many different kinds of tumah, and tumas meis is a 7-day tumah, which is a very limited phenomenon. So there are fundamental differences between these topics. How are we able to compare them? So we said, well, we have a gzera shava. However, within the rules of gzera shava making, there are different opinions on this topic. So we're going to mention points that aren't necessarily accepted by all the different opinions in the Shas. But the general theme here is that in order for a gzera shava to be tight, meaning you make the comparison between the two topics, even though there are differences, we have to somehow demonstrate that the words, in this case, Begit V'or, are extra. They really didn't have to be written by the Torah. And I would have known that Beged and Or are Makabel Tuma through some other means other than their having been written explicitly. If that be the case, if Beged Ve'or are written even though they didn't have to be written, they become extra. When we say extra, that means they're mufne, is the Hebrew word mufne. They're available for the Gzeira Shava to the extent that I'm no longer going to be able to offer logical challenges to the comparison. If, however, Beged Ve'or were not extra per se, they needed to be written in each topic, Mace and Sheretz, to teach me the basic law that a beged, a full garment or leather, are makabel tuma, and without having written beged ve'or, I wouldn't have known that. Then, even though the terms beged ve'or appear in both cases in Sheretz and Mace, I still would have been able to challenge that comparison based on the differences that we mentioned before. So the Gemara now, from here down into the next approximately 10 lines, will be trying to demonstrate how the terms Beged Ve'or are extra, meaning they're extra and hence available for the Gzeira Shava to make it resistant to challenge. That's what the Gemara means here in one word. Umufne means, mufne literally means it's available or it's free for making the Gzeira Shava, which thereby makes the Gzeira Shava comparison resistant to logical challenge. De'i lav mufne, if the words were not extra but were needed for their very basic point that a beged and or are makabel tumor, tumas mace, and tumas sheretz, iko lemifrach, there is room for challenging the Gzeira Shava. For example, ma lesheretz, how can you learn mace from sheretz? Because sheretz has a stringency that you don't find by mace. Shekein metame b'chadosha, how can you learn zonav hasus and pora from sheretz to mace? After all, I can tell you that by sheretz, products from Zonov Hasus Vahapora are makabel tuma, because sheretz has a stringency that mace doesn't have, insofar as if you have a very small amount of dead sheretz, how small? Kadosha, sometimes translated as a lentil size, it will communicate tuma sheretz. Whereas in the case of Tumas Mace, you need to have a larger quantity, so it's a more lenient area. You need to have an olive quantity of corpse matter in order to communicate Tumas Mace. So the Gemara points out, Lai, Afnuye Mufne. Lai, ironically, is the opposite of the English sound of that word. Lai means in truth. In truth, afnui mufne, the term beged ve'or is available for making the Gzeira Shava. And therefore, even though we know that sheretz has this stringency to it, that it's tomei b'chadosha, nevertheless, I will compare tumas sheretz, which includes dvor maboy mizonav asus v'zonav apora, to mace, and say that products from zonav apora v'zonav asus will mekabel tumas mace as well. And now the Gemara demonstrates how the terms Beged Ve'or are in fact extra terms. Under our topic heading on the side and structural note, where we've written Nosei and in parentheses we've written Hemshech, this is simply a continuation of the topic, and Mivneh, the structural note, we feature a house shape. The house shape will surround the terms sheretz and later on the term mace. The double underline highlights the expression mifti, sheretz iskish l'shichva zera, and later on it says mace iskish l'shichva zera. So we've noted here under our note, hoichocha, we're going to prove the gzera shava shel beged ve'or bein sheretz u'mace, the gzera shava between these two topics of tumas sheretz and tumas mace, mufneh, Mishnei Tzodim. We're going to eventually show that the terms beged ve'or are extra in both cases of sheret and in mace. That will develop as we go on in the Gemara. Me'achar sheshnehem, after the fact that these two topics, sherets and mace, hukshu l'shichva zera, they are compared by proximity in the Torah to the realm of shichva zera, male semen, which is something that is also a source of tumah. The hosamnamik siv beged v'or. In the case of shichva zera, the Torah also writes that beged v'or will makabel tumas shichva zera. Ubekach, and with this, ein meshivin olal. We're not going to be able to challenge the gezera shava. So here we're revealing the end of the Gemara in our introductory note, and that is that once the Torah writes shichva zera, and it writes that beged v'or are tomei by shichva zera, and next to the posuk of shichva zera, the Torah writes sheretz, and next to the posuk of shichva zera, the Torah writes tumas mace. So, in and of itself, sheretz, even without having written beged v'or, since it's next to shichva zera that has beged v'or, I know that beged v'or is tomei by sheretz as well. That's called a hekish. Topics that are compared to one another by virtue of their proximity. Likewise, with regard to tumas mace, the Torah didn't have to write beged v'or by tumas mace. Tumas mace is written in proximity to shichva zera, and by shichva zera, beged v'or already appears. So why does the Torah write beged v'or by sheretz and by mace? The answer is those are available expressions for making the gzera shava that we learned above. And as a result of their being available, we can no longer challenge the gzera shava with any logical differences that one finds between mace and sheretz. Now let us go through all of this in the Gemara. The Gemara now goes on to prove that the terms beged v'or are, in fact, extra or available for the gzera shava, michti. Let's look into this. Sheretz iskish l'shichva zera. The realm of tumas sheretz is compared in the Torah to shichva zera, dechtiv, ish asher teitzim imenu shichva zera. V'somichle, and next to it in the Torah, it says, ish asher yiga b'chol sheretz. So, I see that the topic of sheretz is compared to the topic of shichva zera. Uksiv bei b'shichva zera v'chol beged v'chol or asher yieh olov shichva zera. And the Torah writes the terms beged and or by shichva zera. Therefore, beged v'or de kosav rachmona b'sheretz lomali. Why does the Torah have to go out of its way to repeat beged and or by sheretz? It didn't have to write beged v'or b'sheretz. After all, sheretz was compared to shichva zera, and over there it already writes beged v'or. So, shma mino lafnuye, from this we learn that beged v'or written by sheretz is extra or is available for the gzera shava making. Ve'akati, but still, mufne mitzad echod hu. We've demonstrated that in the comparison of sheretz to mace, only on one side of the equation you have an extra expression of beged v'or. So, does that enable us to make a resilient gzera shava? Honi cholamando omar mufne mitzad echod the maiden vein meshivin. Well, if you say on one side of the equation you have an extra expression, that's enough. That's true according to one opinion. The opinion that says that mufne mitzad echod, that we have an extra expression on one side of the equation, lemadim, you learn and you compare the topics, vein meshivin, and you don't challenge it. Elo lemandom or lemadim meshivin michael lemaymar, but according to the other opinion, that a gzera shava that is has an extra expression only on one side of the equation, that's not enough to make it resilient to challenge. So what are you going to say? And here we do have grounds for challenging the Gzeirah Shavah, like the Gemara mentioned above. How can you learn mace from sheretz to suggest that by mace there will be tuma dover bomi zon of asus zon of poro, when we know by sheretz it's mitame bichadosh, it has this stringency that it communicates to me even something as small as a lentil bean, whereas by mace it is more lenient, insofar you need more material to generate the tuma. So how am I going to make the Gzeirah Shavah in a resilient way? So the Gemara answers, "Demeis nami afnuye mufne." The term beged v'or by mace happens to also be extra, is available. Michti. Let's look into it. Mace iskash l'shichva zera. The realm of tumas mace is also compared to shichva zera. Dichtiv v'hanogea b'chol tomei nefesh oy isha shir teitzei mimenu shichva zera. So the pasuk mentions Tomei Nefesh, which is Tumas Meis, and the Pasuk also mentions Shichva Zera. Uksiv b'Shichva Zera chol beged v'chol or. The Torah writes beged and or by Shichva Zera. So what do I need beged and or to be written by Tumas Meis? Beged v'or the kos of Rachmona b'Meis lomali. What do I need the Torah to repeat beged and or by mace when we know that mace is already compared to shichva zera? Shma mino la'afnuye, to show that the writing of beged v'or by tumas mace is la'afnuye, to make it available for making the gzera shava with tumas sheretz. And we just demonstrated that it's mufne mishnei tzdodim, that on both sides of the equation you have the extra expressions, making it a tight gezerah shava, resilient to challenge. We continue with a posuk from the the same topic that was cited on the upper half of the page, Bamidbar Lamed Aleph. In Bamidbar Lamed Aleph, the Torah mentions the war with the Midianites, Milchemes Midian, and we learned dinim of Tumas Meis from that topic, and hence the Gemara goes on with psukim in that area. And as far as the topic heading for this piece of Gemara, we have written the following under our Noseh heading, Kaporo Avur Hihuri Aveira, that one who has thoughts that are in the realm of, we'll call immodesty, and needless to say, immoral thoughts. Thoughts like that, even though a person doesn't actually conduct himself in an immoral fashion, but even the mere thinking about these matters is something that is forbidden and generates the need for atonement. So we're pointing out that that kapora, one needs atonement for hirhure avera, nilmad mi psukim shel milchemes midyan, learn from psukim that deal with that featured or that tell the story of the war with the Midianites. The Gemara continues with a posuk from Bamidbar Lamed Aleph, posuk Nun, Van Nakrev es Korban Hashem Ish Asher Motzeh Kli Zehov Etzel David Tzomit Tabas Ogil V'Chumas. An offering and a sacrifice was offered by people that in the war that found these different called ornamental units, jewelry of all kinds. That's the Kli Zehov. Golden wear, etzel David tzomit, or like you have bracelets and rings of all kinds, and it's ogil v'kumaz. And it goes on to say in the pasuk lechaper al nafsho senu lifnei Hashem. You have a pasuk then referring to the bringing of a sacrifice on by those people that found all of these different kinds of jewelry to atone for their souls. Omar Reb Elozer. Now, we get into the actual meaning. We did a loose translation, but now we get into the fine meaning. Ogil Zed Fus Shel Dodin. The Ogil featured in the Pasuk is a reference to something like we'll call it a woman's bra. It's something that is defus, it's a form for her breasts, the Dodin. Kumoz Zed Fus Shel Beis Horechem. maybe something that would be parallel to a chastity belt, but it's a form that is worn by a woman in her area that constitutes the woman's organs. Omar Rav Yosef, Ihochi, if this be the case, then now I understand something. Hainu de mitargeminon, the targum of the word kumos is mochuch. That's the Aramaic, the targum of kumos. And what does mochuch mean? Dover hamevi lide gichuch. If we explain that kumos was a chastity belt, so it's an area of the female anatomy that is prominent in the realm of immorality and brings gichuch. Gichuch is, we'll call it levity or laughter. Rashi says leitzonis. So that, needless to expound on this, the realm of immorality is interrelated with the realm of leitzonis, of frivolity. Omar lay Rabo. Rabo says to Rav Yosef, Migufe dekro shamas mino. Without going to the Aramaic, just looking at the word kumos, you can understand that it is the tfus shobes arechem. In other words, Rav Yosef understood from the Aramaic, one would associate the kumos with the tfus shobes arechem. Rabo says, you can discover that by looking at the word itself. It could be understood as an abbreviation of the following: kan mokoim zima. Notice these words: kan the chof, and you have the mem mokoim, and zayin kumos. Those letters would spell out kumos. Kan mokoim zima is, here is the place of zima. Zima is a term referring to immoral intimacy. The pasuk says in the same context, "Vayiktzeif Moshe al pkudei hachayil," and Moshe Rabbeinu became enraged at the soldiers. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabba bo Avua, Omar lahen Moshe li Yisrael. Rav Nachman tells us that Moshe addressed the people of Israel. Shema chazartem lekul kalchem horishon. Maybe you have gone back to your previous ways. And this is a reference to the immoral behavior that took place previously with the Benois Moav, with the women folk of Moav in the time of Bilam and Balak, where there was a wide-scale intimacy with these heathen women. Omru lo, so the people that Moshe Rabbeinu was addressing, the Jews that he was addressing, said from the pasuk, lo nifkad mimenu ish, meaning that nifkad is an expression meaning missing. There is no one missing from proper Jewish ways. Rashi says, lo nechzar midas Yehudis. Midas Yehudis is the Jewish ways. And the proper Jewish ways is to resist acts of intimacy with heathen women. So we have not engaged in that. Omer lahen im kem kapora loma. So if that be the case, so why is there a need for atonement? If you're correct in that you didn't engage in immorality, so why is there a need for the sacrifice? Omru lo im midei avero yatsanu. So they answered, it may be true that we escaped an actual act of physical intimacy, midei yiruur lo yatsanu. However, we were unsuccessful in avoiding thoughts of immorality or thoughts of immodesty. Miyad. And with that, we understand, Nakrev is Korban Hashem. They brought forth a sacrifice. Tono debe Rabbi Shmuel, v'tnei mahutzruch Yisrael shvosa dor kapora. Why did the people of Israel in that generation need atonement? V'tnei, the more continues at the top of Amid Beis, shezonu einehem mino erva. Because their eyes enjoyed the erva is the realm of immorality. In other words, there was an actual engagement in immorality, in physical contact, but their eyes benefited from seeing that which is otherwise immodest. Omar Rav Sheshes, Mitnei Ma'amono HaKosuf Tachshitin Shebechutzim Tachshitin Shebefnim. In the pasuk that we saw at the on the bottom of Omid Aleph, we saw a number of different articles of jewelry. We saw a tabas and we saw kumas. Now a tabas is a ring worn, generally speaking, on one's finger. That's an external article of jewelry. The kumas is something that's internal. It's worn under one's clothing. So why does the Torah list these articles together? Lo marloch, to teach us. Kol ha-mistak of etzpetanah shel isha. Anyone who gazes upon even the small finger of a woman, obviously other than one's own wife, ki'ilu mistakil b'mokam haturfa. The Torah views it as if he is looking at the area of intimacy of a woman. In other words, it's as if he's looking at that most intimate organ, so that the Torah is exhorting us to exercise restraint with regards to what we gaze upon. The pasuk says, "Lo sasu acharei levavchem v'acharei nechem." One should not follow his heart nor his eyes. And the Gemara elsewhere brings additional drushes, many drushes in the Shas, to exhorting one to avoid casting his eyes upon that which is immodest. The Mishnah, Yoytze Isha, the woman is entitled to go out, to go into the Rishus HaRabim from her house, Bechute Seor, with strands of hair that are interwoven with her own head of hair. Bein Mishela, Bein Mishel Chaverta, Bein Mishel Behema. These hair strands that are interwoven with her own hair, what is the source of these chutei seor in the Mishnah? They may be her own chutei seor. In other words, the woman cut off her own hair at one point, and she preserved those loose hairs. And at some later point, she wove in those hairs of her own hairs that are tolush, that were detached with her own hair, or she interwove her friend's hair. That's we call it human hair. And the third example was animal hair. In any of these cases, the Mishnah is saying she can go out with these different types of hair that are interwoven, and it's explained that a woman does this if she has her own hair is thinning out, so she might want to increase the bulk of her hair by weaving in these hairs as well. What else? Ube toitefes, ube sarvitin, bisman shein tfurin. These are ornamental items that we've learned about in the past. Different types of head plates that are, in this case, if they're sewn together with her head covering, so then it's okay. Bekovel, bepei anochris. The kovel is a woolen type of head covering, and a pei anochris, Rashi says, klias seor telusha v'tzovarta al saro im klioso shetire balas seor. Often the term pei anochris is explained or translated as a wig. And the Rabbeinu Hananel mentions upei anochris kedei shelo tizgana al bailo. So she should look, she should not be upsetting in the eyes of her husband. In other words, she should look good to her husband. So with regard to the kovel and the pei anochris, the Mishnah says that she is entitled to go with them into the chotzer, into an enclosed area. However, she's not allowed to go into the public domain with them. So we have to tell you that the Mishnah, it's necessary for the Mishnah to tell me that though we learned in the past she's not allowed to go into a public domain, she nevertheless is allowed to go into a chotzer with these things, the kovel and the pei anochris. The Mishnah continues, b'moich sheba ozna. This is some type of ear ear implant, if you will. It's a stuffing that a person puts in their ear in order to absorb ear secretions. Uvamoich shebes sandala, some type of soft material she puts into her shoe to give her added pleasure. Uvamoich shiskino lenidasa, something like a tampon for a woman to absorb the menstrual flow. Bepilpel ubegager melech, these are things that a person puts in their mouths to reduce tooth pain. V'chol dovor shenitan lesoch piha, bavad shelo titein lechatchila b'shabbos. And likewise, with regard to other things that a person puts in their mouth, as long as they put it in their mouth on Friday, v'mnofal lo tachzir, if it fell out, they are not to put it back. The next phrase, Shein Toteves, you'll notice we have a brackets around it. And the reason for this is that there are two very different Pirushim explanations in Rashi and how to deal with these, with this expression in the context of the Mishnah. So the first approach that Rashi uses is take the term Shein Toteves and keep reading it with the continuation of the Mishnah. Shein Toteves, Shein Shel Zohov. Shein Toteves is a false tooth made of, in this, if reading it this way, we're reading it as one phrase, Shein Toteves, made of gold. Rebbe Matir v'chachomim osim, Rebbe allows it to be worn out and the chachomim forbid. The second pshat in Rashi is that Shein Toteves is not part of the machlokis Rebbe and the chachomim, but rather it goes on the heter mentioned before, of things that a woman is entitled to go out with as simply being allowed, and therefore Shein Toteves is read separate from the continuation. And then you would continue reading in the Mishnah Shein Shel Zov, a golden tooth, as opposed to a Shein Toteves, which be a false tooth. And according to this approach, it's a false tooth from a person. It's a replacement tooth that someone preserved a tooth, maybe from someone else or himself, whatever, but it's a slip-in tooth, but not made of gold. The Shein Shel Zov is a different matter. And Rebbe Matir v'chachomim osrim, the chachomim won't allow, because since it's gold, it looks different from his other teeth, and people may laugh at him, and he'll thereby slip it out so as and end up carrying it in the Rishus HaRabim, thereby making the Shein Toteves unique. And even so, Rebbe is lenient. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading to introduce this section. Under our No Say heading, we mention Sugim Shonim Shelchute Seor Sheicha Yoitzis Bohem. The Gemara will deal with the different types of hair strands that a woman is allowed to wear out into the Rishus HaRabim. V'loma itzdrich l'masnisin l'ashminin kol hanin. Why was it necessary for the Mishnah to teach all of them? So the Gemara, utzricha. The I ashminin dida, had the Mishnah told us only about the heter of her own hairs, mishum de lo mois, it's something that she doesn't find disgusting. It's her own hairs, after all, that happen to have been cut off earlier, and she's now weaving them into her hair. And therefore, there's no fear of her taking it off. Aval chaverta demoyes emolo. However, her friend's hairs, it's not her own hair, so she might feel uncomfortable with it and find it somewhat disgusting. So she might end up slipping them off and carrying them in the Rishus HaRabim. So I wouldn't have known that those are mutter also. I would have thought they're not mutter. The Ashmin the Chaberta, had we told you that her friend's hairs interwoven with her own hairs are allowed, well, Debas Minahu, it's human hair. It's like her own, it's human hair. Aval de behemo lav bar minahu, but animal hairs is not the same category. Emo lo, maybe that would not have been allowed. And therefore, sricha, I need to be told that animal hairs also are allowed. Tana, Ubilvat shelo teitze yalda b'shel zekena uzekena b'shel yalda. The heter of a woman wearing hairs, provided the hairs resemble her own hairs, and not a young person wearing the hairs of an elderly woman, meaning we have black and gray or white, and an elderly woman wearing the hairs of a young girl. The Rashi says, "Uvashelo teitzi zekena b'chute ser shel yalda v'yalda b'shel zekena." The levonois al shchoros, that's white hairs superimposed on black hairs, al shchoros al levonos, or the other way around, moyis is disgusting, v'osil mishlaf, and she could eventually come to slip them off and carry in the rishus harabin. The Gemara now focuses on this source and says, bishlamo zekeno b'shel yaldo, very well, I need to be told that an older woman wearing the weaving in hairs of a younger woman, shevach hu lo, it is something that is nice for her. In other words, a woman always wants to feel young, so you have this older woman with young woman hairs interwoven, so it's a source of pride for her, and she would be motivated to wear this out to the Rishus Rabba. So I have to tell you not to do it. Ela yalda b'shel zekena amai. Now the explanation we're using here is in conformity to what one will find toward the end of the Tosfos Dibur Masa Ubilvad. So, but the case of Yal B'shel Zekena, a young woman with an older woman's hairs interwoven, amai means, what do I need to tell you that she's not to go out like that? Genai hula, it's something that makes her is negative to her. She wouldn't go out with that even on a weekday. So it's obvious she's not going to go out with that. So the Gemara says, you're right. Aidi detona zekena b'shel yada. Since it taught the case of the older woman with the younger woman's hairs that needs to be taught, that even though it's something that she would do during the weekdays, well, on Shabbos she shouldn't do it. Tonanami yalda b'shel zekena. It also tells you the other case, the other way around, even though there's no real chiddush in this case. There's nothing novel. It's something that was otherwise obvious. Bekovul ubepeo nochrus lechotzer. Omar Rav. Kol she'osru chachomim lotzeis bo l'rishus harabim, osur lotzeis bo l'chotzer. Chutz mikovul upeo nochrus. Rav is referring to all of the different ornaments referred to at the beginning of the perek. So everything that the chomim asur, going into a public thoroughfare, it is osur for the woman to wear them even in her own private domain, in her chotzer, in the enclosed courtyard. The exception being the kovel and the peonochris. The kovel, we explained before, is a woolen head covering and a wig. Those, even though they're osur to be worn into the rishus harabim, they are mutter in the chotzer. Rav Anani bar Soson mishmeid Rabbi Shmuel Omar hakol kekovel. He is much more lenient. He says all of the things that were forbidden in the rishus harabim are osur only in the public thoroughfare, but are allowed in a chotzer, just like the kovel. Tanan, our Mishnah said, "Bekovel ubepeyanochris lechotzer." Bishlamo l'Rav nicha. According to Rav's approach, this makes sense, meaning that only these things, the kovel and the peyanochris, are allowed in the chotzer, whereas the other things mentioned at the beginning of the perek are osur in the chotzer. In other words, just like they're also in the Rishus Rabbah, they're also usher in the Chotzer. El Rabbi Anoni bar Soson Kasha. But according to Rav Anoni, this Mishnah would pose a difficulty, because according to him, why is there any need to emphasize Kovul and Peyanochus the Chotzer when all the other things are also mutter in the Chotzer? Rabbi Anoni bar Soson, the Gemara answers, Mishmei Deman Komarle, in whose name did he say his halacha? He said it in the name of Mishmei de Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. You can see that we dashed underline his name a few lines up, Rabbi Shmuel, and we also include a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text to enable you to find it quickly. Well, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Tanahu, Polig. Rav Anoni bar Soson is relying on a Tanaic authority, so that even though our Mishnah indicates otherwise, Rabbi Anoni is based on an authority able to counter or to disagree with our Mishnah. V'rav mai shno hani. According to Rav, what is unique about the kovel and the peyon nochris that they are allowed in the chotzer, whereas all the other jewelry and ornaments are not allowed? Omar ula kedei shelo tisgane al bailo. Ula tells us that the Mishnah concedes or compromises with regard to the peah, nochris, and the kovul, so as to preserve the woman's dignity or good looks in the eyes of her husband. In other words, if we would ban everything, there's a chance that her husband won't find her attractive. So as to make sure that she doesn't become unattractive to her husband, we concede these things. We allow her to wear these things. Kidisanya. The following Tanaic source will convey this idea that the Chachomim are sensitive to a man always finding his wife attractive, and that is accomplished by allowing her allowing her jewelry and ornaments. Kidisanya. The pasuk says v'hidva benidasa. This pasuk is in the context of a woman experiencing a menstrual flow, and which creates a state of tumas nida. V'zakenim rishonim amru. The original zakenim, the original sages, had looked at this pasuk and said that a woman, when she's a nida, shelo tikho v'lo tifkois v'lo tiskashi b'vigdei tzivoinim, she shouldn't apply any of these different types of cosmetics. That's kochol and tifkois. Rashi explains it's something that's red, possibly mascara, and she is they understood the pasuk in a fairly, let's say, literal fashion. V'hidva benidasa, meaning like something that's menude, something that is cast away, so she's distanced from her husband. And how is that accomplished? By her not looking attractive, by her not using any cosmetics during the time she is a nida, and not wearing colored clothing either. Ad shebo Rabbi Akiva v'limeid, until Rabbi Akiva came along and said, in kein ata megana al bailo. Well, if you are so restrictive, then you're making the woman unattractive to her husband. V'nimtza bailo megarsha, and that could lead to her husband actually divorcing her. It's interesting to note that Rabbi Akiva is sensitive to this, as we find in other places in the Shas, this idea. Well, without expounding on it with various citations, needless to say that Rabbi Akiva is a figure that is quite sensitive to this realm. Elo ma talmud lomar v'hidva benidasa. So then, if that's the case, that we are to allow the woman as a nida to apply cosmetics, so what do we learn from v'hidva benidasa? We saw before the Zakenim Harishonim understood Bini Dasa Dover HaMenuda, something that is to be distanced. So Rabbi Akiva will tell you Bini Dasa Tehei Ad Shetovu B'mayim. The pasuk means that she remains Tameya until she immerses herself in the water, in the mikveh. Meaning that it's not enough that the 7 days of Nida passed. She's Tameya for 7 days. And it's not enough that the blood flow stopped. In other words, even though 7 days have passed and the blood flow has stopped, that doesn't mean she's automatically tahora. She gains her tahara, her purification, only after immersing herself in a mikveh. Amar Yehuda Marav, kol mokum sha'asru chachomim mitnei mara so'ayin. Here, the Gemara enters a new topic, and on the side, we have, under our no say heading, we've written, din shel Rav, this is Rav's law, ma sha'asur mitnei maris ayin, that which is forbidden because of what people might think, afilu b'chadri chador moser, such behavior or practices will be forbidden even if no one is looking, namely even if you're in an inner room where no one sees what you're doing, but if that action or that activity, if done in front of others, would have led them to think that you're in violation, let's say in violation of a Shabbos prohibition, even if no one is seeing you, you are not allowed to do it. So that's Rav's din, and that's what we see here. Kol mokum sha'asru chachomim neymar sa'im, anything that the chachomim prohibited because of the the impression, the incorrect impression it may create. Afilu b'chadri chadorim osur, meaning even in your inner room it will be forbidden. The Gemara continues, Tanan v'lo bezug afal pi shepokuk. We've seen that one is not to go out with a bell, even though it is stuffed. In other words, an animal is not to wear a bell out into the Rishus Rabbim, even if it is stuffed. Namely, it won't make any noise. And we've said that this is forbidden because an animal wearing a bell, even if it's stuffed, looks like it's going to market. The Tanya Idoch, there's another source that says, Pokek lo zug bitzavoro umetayel imo b'chotzer. One can stuff a bell and walk around with the animal in an enclosed area, in a private area. In the private area, no one else sees you. So, this point would seem to counter Rav. In other words, taking the animal into the public area, that would lead to a wrong impression. People will think you're taking it to market. So according to Rav's principle, if in public something is forbidden, then even in private is forbidden. But we see here the wearing of the bell in the public is forbidden, but in private it's allowed. That's a challenge to Rav. The Gemara answers, Tanoi hi. The issue is a machlokas tanoim. The din of Rav is a machlokas tanoim. In other words, Rav's extreme approach is a machlokas tanoim. This sanya, we continue with a Tanaic source at the top of Samach Hayomet Aleph. The Brisa says, regarding a person whose clothing became soaked in rain, we know that there's a prohibition of washing clothing on Shabbos. If a person, though, is walking outdoors and he gets soaking wet with rain, when he removes his clothing, what does he do with them? So the source says here, Shoytchon b'chamo avalo k'neged ha'om. You can hang up your clothing, in other words, like lay them over chairs in the sun, provided it's not in public. Rabbi Elezer, Rabbi Shimon Osrim, they say, You can't hang them up or spread them out in the sun, even in private, because by spreading them out, if you were to do this in public, people would think, they wouldn't know that it got wet through the rain. They think that you washed the clothing out and you're hanging them up to dry. So since that would create a wrong impression on the part of the public, you can't do it even in private. The Tanakhama, though, says you can spread out your clothing in the sun, just as long as you don't do it in front of people. Just don't invite trouble. But if you're in private, you can do it. So the Tanakhama is not like Rav. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon are like Rav. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.